ubiquitous computing was supposed to make things invisible and, you know, have technology just seamlessly integrate into your life. And what we're finding is that a lot of our work these days is focusing on actually making the invisible visible.
Privacy could become the next hot button issue. This is Future Lab, the online radio series from Intel Labs. I'm Jason Lopez. The web was supposed to get real cool when everything happened in the background. Trouble is, that's a perfect scenario for having your personal data abused. Living in our technological world has a price in order to get the full features of, let's say, a news website. You probably have to log in, and that means filling out a form with your name and information. Or for an easier sign-up process these days, perhaps that just means releasing your personal data from a third-party site like Facebook. But slowly, over time, your information, your data, is being collected, and probably more than you're aware of. The idea of personal privacy has been transformed, and it's unclear what the cost is of having all your data out there. But just as there are technologies that put us at risk, researchers are investigating ways to protect privacy. Paul Ancor reports.
People unknowingly have just released away their rights to their own data almost on a daily basis.
That's Mike Liebhold, a senior researcher and distinguished fellow at the Institute for the Future.
We're in an era of data mining where it's really, really easy to aggregate, filter, and analyze and profile using just online cloud-served tools. So I think people don't realize in the aggregate how much of their digital artifacts are out there. The problem is things are so fragmented and chaotic right now, it's almost impossible for people to understand the dimensions of their digital footprint. So it's hard for people to understand, to even make a decision or express a concern if they don't understand what is going on.
Liebhold isn't a complete pessimist about data security and personal privacy. There's plenty to be afraid of, but he says the promise of compute devices to help us and anticipate our needs in a seamless way is unfolding right now.
There's just an enormous upside, just a fantastic, enormous upside, which is personal analytics, the idea of proactive contextual services under the user's control is just absolutely awesome potential. It's the idea that if you have a suite of applications or some kind of computing structure, it knows your agenda, it knows your itinerary, it knows your biases, it knows your preferences, it knows your history. It can actually do proactive processing of your data and of web, internet, and cloud resources to actually orchestrate digital interactions proactively before you get somewhere. So wherever you are, the entire digital experience with your data and with the world's data are highly tuned, acutely tuned to your personal needs, preferences, interests, and activities.
That's a lot of upside. In order to achieve it, your future smart device will need large amounts of your private information to make it all work. And the danger is, through your ongoing mundane interactions over the internet, your information will eventually end up in the hands of others. But Liebhold sees a number of technologies under development, data vaults or apps with open APIs, or policies like a mandatory Bill of Rights that could offer meaningful solutions to privacy concerns.
I think there are industry leaders who either by choice or by design care about privacy. It's almost a checkoff item for a trustable company these days, is the, sort of their public posture of privacy. And so I guess there's varying degrees of investment. Companies have to at least put up an aura of trust or people won't use their commerce or content services. You know, I think there are a few people who actually get it who are now working on architectures to support much more graceful integration of our fragmented digital artifacts.
Our computer usage and the concurrent erosion of our privacy didn't happen overnight. The result is many people are complacent about a threat they're hardly aware of. Liebhold thinks that will change.
There's going to be some really lurid CNN splash shocking stories are going to come out over the next 24 months. It's just inevitable. It will take kind of public shock to motivate the investment and to motivate the policy to fix this.
And when privacy issues become a top priority, and as devices become smarter, consumers and technology companies will be faced with a balancing act. How much information do you want to protect? And how much do you want your technology to help you accomplish?
This is one of the great tensions of our time. Privacy versus convenience, privacy versus security. Those are the two fundamental tensions.
This is Intel Labs in Seattle, where University of Washington PhD student Sophia Wang exhibits her work. She investigated what happens to your data when you log in to popular websites like LinkedIn, CNET, or the New York Times. Listening to Wang, you suddenly realize that protecting your privacy can be difficult when you don't even know it's being compromised. With her technology, she can actually see personal information being sent to third-party websites.
About all of the websites send some of your personal information in the clear, and one-third of them send your password in the clear. And also, about 26% of the websites send your personal information to some third-party website. And usually they are not visible to users. So this means they set your PII, like password or credit card numbers, in cookies. They just don't encrypt your password, which means if you are on a Wi-Fi network, if you are in a coffee shop or something, and you sign in to CNET.com, if there is an attacker in the coffee shop, they can see your password. I think a lot of people think websites should handle the personal information correctly. At least they shouldn't store your personal information in cookies. Also, people think the website should encrypt your password when you log into their websites. But actually, they didn't.
Adjacent to Wang is research scientist Jae-Eun Jung, who is developing similar technology for mobile devices called AppScope. It gives you more insight into when your phone is sending information, like when you buy and download a ringtone. Jung runs AppScope through a demo doing just that.
You see this AppScope alert while you're doing this, and it tells you that this application sent out your phone number to this remote AppScope server. And you can see all the details, and then you can see this phone number. And now what happens if I close this application? Well, you will see that like 20 seconds later, even if I close this application, some data will go out to this application, advertisement server, and you'll see this alert, and yes. So it shows that this application sent out my location to this third-party analytics server. And you can see the details from this AppScope system.
Someday, in the not-too-distant future, you may be standing looking at an ad in the mall. That ad may be looking back at you and matching your face to a database of faces to identify you and customize an ad for you. Miro Inev is a University of Washington computer science PhD student working at Intel Labs so that in this Minority Report-like scenario, you're able to be in control of that data.
So, for instance, if you are okay with revealing your gender and your age, but you're not comfortable with revealing your race, then we can come up with a transformation of your raw data that provides those guarantees. I think that certainly we're getting a lot more cameras and a lot more richer sensors in our environments. And I think the key is to be able to balance out the benefits that we get from these technologies with the functionality and the privacy guarantees that we would like to provide for everyone so that they're comfortable in these settings. I think Big Brother is certainly something that we would like to prevent. And I think the way to do that is to constantly keep tabs on all the possibilities and all of the ways that information can leak in our future technologies, and to sort of stay one step ahead and to provide users with a way to use these computers in smart ways to give them guarantees about their privacy.
Ubiquitous computing. It's sometimes also called the Internet of Things. It's a model of computing where information processing has been thoroughly integrated into everyday objects and activities. Sonny Consolvo is a research scientist at Intel Labs working in ubiquitous computing, an area where users may not even be aware they're engaged in computing.
The irony of working in a ubiquitous computing lab where ubiquitous computing was supposed to make things invisible and, you know, have technology just seamlessly integrate into your life. And what we're finding is that a lot of our work these days is focusing on actually making the invisible visible and trying to improve people's awareness of what's going on so that they can at least make more informed decisions. But while we're also focusing on that front of just making people more aware of what's happening and maybe what some of the ramifications could be of what they're doing, I think we also need to focus on technical mechanisms to actually just prevent some of this stuff from being a problem.
Consalvo says what's apparent is how valuable our data is to so many different people. What's not so apparent is we can take control of our data to have effective impression management.
The way you behave with your spouse in your bedroom is probably different than the way you behave with a coworker in the workplace or even a coworker at lunch. And so I think that the thing that makes some of these privacy issues scary is that we don't know how to manage our impressions when all of a sudden the sensing plays a role and different people can access that sensing.
So while researchers work on these complex issues around personal privacy, it's clear that users can already take control by educating themselves about the potential pitfalls of these technologies. For Future Lab, I'm Paul Lancour.
That's our show for today. Future Lab is the online radio series of Intel Labs. Some photos that go with today's show on privacy are on Flickr. Use the search terms Future Lab and Intel. You can find more episodes of Future Lab on iTunes and at connectedsocialmedia.com. Intel Labs can be found at intel.com/research.